serve it up till the whiskey run dry. You take your sugar and take your sweets.
Leave you blind. And welcome, everybody, to the Lunacy Podcast. My name is Tony. I'm here with Dave, David, and Connor. Dave Stevens, David Sterling, Connor Ennis. I am Tony Pervenanzi. It is Sunday, the day after the game against Houston at Allianz Field. We will talk about that here in just a little bit. It was a beautiful day for a ball game. Holy shit, I think we had 85 yesterday, boys.
Did it get that end up getting that high?
Yeah, it got that high.
I saw upper 70s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got that high yesterday. So David was at 85 yesterday in Fort Myers.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so we beat you finally. Holy shit. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it was only like 83. Now our heat index, I think, was close to 90, but
yeah, well, ours
would have been at the same temperature or lower. That we had a pretty nice breeze through most of the day. So it was a comfortable 80 if it was. So
nice.
It was funny because, of course, in Minnesota, when you start getting these warm temperatures in spring, people start complaining it's too hot. And I want to slap those people in the fucking face.
Right.
I mean, we had a pretty mild winter, but still it's nice to be in the 70s and 80s and be able to sit out on your driveway and have some, you know, driveway beers and enjoy yourself. So people who say that shit should just fuck off. Go to Northern Canada or something like that. So wasn't really a very exciting week for me personally. Nothing going on. My daughter went to Omaha for the weekend with my wife and played in a soccer tournament down there. They did lose all three games they played. So that was, you know, it happens. She came back and said, Nebraska kids are good. I'm like, well, they got nothing better to do down there than play soccer and, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, but yeah, so it was her first tournament of the season, and hopefully she, their team gets better. Connor, did you do anything fun this week?
Yeah, just this weekend. Well, basically this whole week actually has been the start of getting ready for the new arrival to the family.
That's right.
So
yes,
last Sunday, before I realized that my voice was really really bad. I was able to, despite my voice being really bad, I was still able to do a lot of manual labor. So we moved the bed out of the guest room, which is eventually going to become the new baby's room, and we moved it down here. You can see it behind me. Actually,
nice.
And today we painted the ceiling in the new baby's room, and actually I'm taking about half of the next week off to be able to paint and do a lot more redecorating and put a bunch of stuff together. And so we're gonna focus on that over the next week or so, and then it'll be finished, and all you have to do is wait for the new arrival to come after that. But other than that, we just spent the whole weekend outside. Basically, it's been a beautiful weekend.
Nice. Yeah. And his name is, you're naming him San Antonio, right?
No, I'm nice. Naming him Bebelo Emmanuel.
Not around here, sir. Not around here, sir. Bad idea. Bad idea.
Okay, I named him. Okay, then I named him Owen Jordan Love Ennis. Then how about that?
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Come on, Jimmy Christmas.
And I mean, you know, sorry you didn't go with San Antonio, obviously, like Tony suggests. But yeah, and obviously after last night, you can't go with Houston. That's out of the question. So
No. Can't go with Houston.
No, can't go Texas at all.
Could you go Fort Worth?
I could go El Paso.
El Paso. Nah, no.
El Paso Patriot Ennis.
There you go. Patriot. Jeez. Dave, did you do anything fun? I know me and Dave hooked up yesterday and played some golden tea at our favorite spot, Boondocks in Otsego.
Yes. Yep.
Had some beers out of my driveway. But other than that, Dave, did you do anything fun?
I always love the driveway beers up at your place. Especially, you know, the first 70, maybe 80 degree weather that we've had this year, which is a nice way to celebrate that. But yeah, actually it was a good weekend, Connor. Like you said, I tried to spend as much time as I could outdoor, whether it was on the driveway or going for walks, hikes. something like that. And then today, Sunday, as we record, I actually made the most. I basically was outdoors for the last 7 hours, made it to two different dog parks and two breweries, dog friendly breweries, actually.
Shit, two breweries today, Dave?
That's crazy. A beer piece, kind of a slow beer plus the two dog parks. But yeah, so a good outdoor day, soaking it all in. So yeah, that was great. But yeah, as much as I could this week, took some time off myself, actually. Tony, we went to the Twins game Wednesday afternoon.
Right, yeah, we did.
So yeah, you know, it's been a good week and a great weekend, just like most people here in Minnesota anyways, making the most of the weather.
And I want to mention that Twins game that Wednesday, the weather was beautiful for that game. It was a day game, so I took a half day, and Dave had the week off. So I did something I've never done before, and I've always wanted to do it, but they had shut down service to this when COVID hit. I took the North Star commuter line down to the game. So the North Star commuter line is the line that goes from Hand Lake all the way down to Target Field. So I hopped on it in Elk River, and I tell you guys, I mean, Dave and Connor, I don't know if you ever will ever get a chance to use it, because it's really not worth your time to drive to like a Ramsey or Anoka just to go down Target Field. For me and Otsego, it is fantastic. It's $9 round trip. The trains are double decker trains, which is awesome. They have bathrooms on the trains, which is great. And it gets you down there from Elk River in 40 minutes, which is awesome. And then the way back, there were three different times you could come back at. So Dave and I had time to go to Fulton Brewing and then over to Inbound Brewing as well, to have a couple beers at those places after the game. So yeah, it was fantastic. And probably the best seats I've had ever. And Dave's had better seats, but we sat in box seats along the third baseline, which was fantastic. It was a great game.
Yeah, dugout box. Those are definitely smaller sections. You have your own kind of. You don't have to walk all the way up, you know, because we were sitting in essentially the second row, fifth row, whatever you want to call it. But
yeah,
you don't have to walk up all the way to the main concourse. You have your own bathroom, your own vending bar right downstairs, so it makes it really convenient. So you kind of they make it worth the price. So, and we got decent. I think we got a decent deal on those tickets. So
we did. Set the fucking aisle seat problem again.
Oh yeah, fuck's sakes. Two games in a row, Tony, that we've given you responsibility to get tickets. And supposedly we do like aisles, easy in, easy out. But yeah, it was the exact opposite of an aisle. I mean, technically there was nobody sitting to the right of us, but we were up against the fence and no way to get out from there. So
stupid.
We're at the end of the section. So
yeah, I'm so dumb. David, what'd you do this week? Did you go down to get out to the beach a lot? Did you hang out?
No, nothing at all. It's the end of our fiscal year this month. So work's been just outrageously busy. But then also, our house goes on the market in like 2 weeks. So we've got pictures in a week from tomorrow. So we've been doing a lot of shit, just getting the house up to par.
Do you like show up like casually in those pictures? Like when you take a picture of like where your dining room table is, are you there like drinking a beer and like, hey, something like that?
I'm one of those people that shows up in mirrors. Like I'll line myself up with a mirror. Maybe holding a knife. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Good way to sell the house. Good way to sell the house. Man. All right. Before we get into soccer, guys, I mentioned before the podcast, I want to run this. I'm sure some of our listeners have heard, telling you boys about this, that there's found video footage of old training videos from like Wendy's and Burger King floating out on the internet. But the great one that I've got today, just a little clip of it, is Old Country Buffet. Now, people from Minnesota all know what Old Country Buffet is. That's, you know, it was a Minnesota company. You know, you went there, you ate a bunch of food for, I think it was like $12 and whatever. And it was just a buffet style, you know, whatever. But
I don't know how you guys felt there? About it, but it was, I went there. I mean, I haven't been there in literally probably 25 years, but maybe sooner, more recently than that. But as a kid, as a young, you know, I don't know, between the ages of like 10 and 14 or something, I loved going there. Loved it.
Yeah.
I think it was more for you know, the unlimited ice cream and desserts and
things
like that. But it was certainly a highlight, you know, and then I certainly, like most of us, probably grew out of it. But yeah, it was good. Good memory as a kid.
So back in the day, they had a training video for the carving station there, because they had the guy would sit there with a knife and he'd carve up your food for you. And this clip is from How to Greet Guests. Now, listen to this clip and tell me how hokey this is. But remember, this is 1980s, so bear with it. So here we go.
Let's take a closer look at greeting guests. Every conversation you hold with a guest should begin something like this.
Good evening.
Or,
hi, how are you?
Once you've greeted the guest, start a brief conversation. Try asking a question the guest can answer in a sentence or two. You might ask something like this.
Is it still hot out there?
Or this.
Did you catch a game last night?
Or this.
Have you tried the lasagna? It's my favorite.
Don't forget to hold quick conversations with our younger guests, too. Children often play a big part in deciding which restaurant their parents visit. We want them to feel welcome and special here, too. So start conversations with children by saying something like this.
What grade are you in at school?
Or this.
Have you decided what dessert you're going to have?
Or this.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes?
Once you've helped...
That is like the hokey shit.
Okay, hey. But keep in mind, too, is that the children are being asked this question by a guy with a giant knife in his hand as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, you almost expect a what grade are you in? What school do you go to? What's your name?
Exactly.
When is your school?
What district are you in?
Do you walk home?
It gets very sketchy there. I mean, this, remember now, guys, this is the '80s where we weren't like, so we're on a high alert for everybody, but you know, it's the best part is you can tell he's a Minnesota guy or a Midwestern guy because the way he talks. Well, right? Yeah. You catch the game last night? Come on.
And look at that. That could be a training video for our podcast. Hey, we're happy to have you guys here. We're glad you're here. It was hot outside yesterday, wasn't it? I mean, didn't we start our podcast exactly like that? It sure was hot.
That's true. True.
Do you like hot fudge Sundays?
Yeah, I guess exactly we didn't talk about that, but right. Maybe we should going forward. What did you have instead of asking what beer did you have, just ask what dessert did you have last night?
Right, so. The hot fudge sundae porter.
Yes.
Have you tried lasagna? It's my favorite.
Right.
Like, come on. I said to play that because I'm like, and the video is like 10 minutes long, and it talks about all the shit they do and whatever. But there's a lot of remixes where they make the guy all freaky, and he's like, ah. Yeah, have you tried the hot fudge sundae?
I'd like to see the video of it because I'd like to know just how wide his eyes are in that video.
If you haven't seen it, I think it's pretty easy to find. I guess I must have seen it floating around Twitter not too long ago, months ago or something, but not too long ago. Funny stuff.
Make sure if you listen to that, make sure if you haven't seen it, look up Wendy's grill skills and Wendy's. How to serve drinks, because those are two of the best. They have like music videos going and it's like singing and shit. It's just crazy stuff, man. It's nuts. I just whatever. So I had to bring that up.
Nice.
So after that, guys, so let's talk about beers here for a minute. Of course, we're all drinking. It is Sunday. I'll go first. I have a beer from a brewery up in Duluth. It is Ursa Minor Brewing. Like I said, from Duluth, Minnesota. It is their cream ale. I'm a big cream ale fan. So, it's a good cream ale. There's nothing good or bad to say about it. I mean, it's good. It's good. Nothing bad to say about it. It's fantastic. But it's Ursa Minor Brewing up in Duluth. I think we've had them on the podcast before with some other stuff. So, yeah, Ursa Minor. Dave, what are you drinking tonight?
I went with a, as well, not a new brewery like you. I went with a beer from Lupulin Brewing up in Big Lake, and they have a second location, I believe, in Sioux Falls, or?
That's right. Yes, it's Sioux Falls. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, hopefully I'm right about that. Mm-hmm. I know they have two in the Dakotas, the other ones in the Dakotas. But yeah, Big Lake, Minnesota. So when I think Lupulin, I obviously think Big Lake. That's where, obviously, the most of the distribution around here would come from. But I do believe I went with a new beer, at least for myself. I can't speak for everybody on the pod, but I ended up going with something pretty crazy for a Sunday night with their Blissful Ignorance. And that is one of their core beers. That's one of their core beers. So you've probably seen it in some of the stores around here, at least. It's their Hazy Double IPA, and that comes in at 9% ABV. Jesus. So just one of those tonight. Maybe I'll switch to something lighter afterwards. But and it's 70 IBU. So what I found is it's actually with that alcohol content, and you won't miss. This is one of those where you won't mistake it. You won't think you're drinking, you know, something a lot lighter than that. You can taste the alcohol, which I don't necessarily think is bad, especially when a beer like this should be a sipper. It is, because it also clocks in at 70 IBU. So it's pretty hoppy, as you'd expect from a double. But it's a great sipper. It's really, really citrusy, because like they've loaded it with some of the like juiciest hops that you can get. Let's see, if Citra, Mosaic, Columbus, they call it hop juice, basically, and that's what it is. It's a juicy, strong. It's a really, really nice sipper. So we'll see. Hopefully, I don't slam this down too fast. But it's a great beer, great brewery, and we've obviously done a pod there. And
Actually, you should slam it. Please, please.
See, you know what? Actually, it might make the talk about the game last night a little bit easier. So maybe it will.
It might.
Yeah. Right.
We'll enjoy Dave, it.
A lot more fun for us.
Yeah, we'll enjoy it a lot. Dave's just ending his week off on a high note with a strong beer. That's what he's doing.
Maybe I'm blissfully ignorant, like the name of the beer, Blissful Ignorance. Mm. That you know, after a week off, I still don't want to believe that I have to go back to work tomorrow morning. So
that's right.
Sure, it'll hit me in a few hours. So.
Yeah. Connor, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I am currently polishing off a butterscotch root beer, but I will be opening up a thin crust New England Pale Ale from Nouvelle Brewing right here in Robbinsdale, which I believe we've also had in the pod here before.
Nice. Yep.
It's 6.3 ABV, so not too light, not too heavy. It's got hints of grapefruit, pineapple gummy, candied mango, and some pine in there as well.
Where do they get the name thin crust, I wonder, from?
I don't know, actually. I thought it would be a little bit more weedy, I guess, and you know, I haven't opened it yet, but I thought it'd be a little bit more weedy. You know, thin crust, obviously referring to pizza more than anything else for me. But we'll see how it goes. It sounds very fruity, so I'm very interested to try this one. But yeah, 6.3 ABV, and it's right here in Robbinsdale, Nouvelle Brewing. They used to be Pig Ate My Pizza, if you remember. Yep.
Well, there you go. That might be the answer to my question. Maybe they're a throwback to what they used to be there.
They did say it is a new beer over there, so it's not one of their core beers.
All right, well, fantastic. David, what do you got from the land of Florida tonight?
I have a new brewery. It is from Playa Linda Brewing Company in Titusville, Florida. If no one knows where that is, it is right next to the Kennedy Space Center. So it's just across the water from the launch pads. So right over there on the Space Coast. The beer is called the Luna Lemonade, and it is a marshmallow lemonade wheat beer.
Jeez.
Interesting. And the ABV is 4.8, so it's about as light as you're going to get. They don't even rate the IBUs. It's like a, you know, I think it's maybe like a summer shandy with marshmallows.
Nice.
Might be a good way to describe it. It's a little sweet. I don't think you'd be slamming this because I think the sweetness would overtake you eventually. Oh, wow. But it's a solid beer. I like it. I can't think of anything that's too negative about it, other than the sweetness might get some people. But
yeah, fantastic. Speaking of new breweries, before we get out of the beer stuff, guys, I do need to mention, we talked about it, I sent you guys a text about this. Lakes and Legends Brewing, of course, that closed late last year. It is now going to be a new brewery called Brewhaven. And that is founded by Glenn Oslin and Alex Doring. Now, Glenn doesn't have any, he was just a office guy, but it looks like Doring was the, I think it says he was a head brewer at, where was it? Head brewer at the Free House off of Washington Avenue in Minneapolis. So he's had some experience doing that. So it'd be nice for another brewery to come in to Lakes and Legends. They, in an article I read, they talked about potentially opening up in the morning times, having coffee and pastries, expanding their services more than just being a brewery, you know, reaching out, getting the community to come in more than just for beers. So they're gonna have some NA options. They're gonna have, is what I say, guys, in the text, two beers on tap that Lakes and Legends had. I think their cream ale and their raspberry wheat ale, I believe, were the two that they're going to have on tap from Lakes and Legends. Probably the same same ingredients and the same, you know, recipe for it. They also are doing some, of course, THC, and they also saw in the article they're going to try some mushroom stuff as well. With, wow. Because that's kind of coming into play with the mushrooms as the, I can't think of the name of the chemical out of that, but it's a different type of, you know, mind thing. So we'll see how they do. So Brewhaven, hopefully early this summer, they'll be open. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
So let's talk about the loons. But before we get into the game, we have to talk about the news that came out this week that, Ray is still in Argentina due to the fact that he missed a meeting to get his green card. Now, what Andy Greeter said was that in his article was that Ray had two meetings. He hit the first meeting and then he skipped the second one. So he was at the goal line to get his green card and then he skipped that second meeting. So he's not here. The team is saying moving forward without him. That's that. End of story. So this is another big kind of FU from Ray, I think.
Yeah.
And he apologized last time, but this time it's like, how do you apologize for this time? I'm just kind of lost in the social media.
It's a bad situation all the way around. I mean, regardless of what's going on, and we don't know technically why. You know, it wasn't worded great. You know, it does sound like it was just a straight no-show. Technically, we don't know why, if there was extenuating circumstances, whatever. Who knows what he might be dealing with back home? I know we talked about it. Potentially could be legal issues stemming from, what, almost 3 years ago now? Or 3 years ago?
Possible.
Who knows? Yeah. It could be. You'd like to think that's in the past, but it might not be. We just really have no idea. But so it's incredibly frustrating. And then kind of just... it's no news is just, we're just left wondering and thinking. And so it's incredibly frustrating given that this basically happened last year. You know, who knows, maybe a month from now, 3 days from now, knowing our luck, tomorrow the news will drop after we record. We'll have an explanation. He'll apologize or something. But who knows? Like we just can't, it's hard to speculate, but unfortunately, this is becoming a trend.
It's dangerous too. You know, it's with Reynoso skipping this meeting. It's very reckless of him because it's not just it's not the same staff that he's been working with anymore. It's Khaled Al-Ahmad, the new director of soccer, and then fairly new CEO in Sherry Ballard, and then of course Eric Ramsey. The changes to the coaching staff. So it's very reckless and very dangerous, especially if Reynoso still consciously wants to play in Minnesota. Like there is speculation that, you know, should we move on from Emmanuel Reynoso? And, you know, he's given us so many of these situations over the past few years where, you know, he's been down in Argentina for some kind of business that he's gotten into trouble for. And he hasn't really taken the time or care to inform the club of what's going on either. So and now that there's new staff, it's just so dangerous for him to pull these same stunts, and especially when he doesn't know that, hey, this isn't Adrian Heath anymore. Adrian Heath isn't just going to let him get away with it here. It's a new coach, and I don't think that Eric Ramsey will have the same kind of tolerance for Reynoso that Adrian Heath did.
Yeah, you know, I think coming from England, and big England, you know, I agree, Connor. I don't think Ramsey's just gonna sit there and be like, "Oh, well, you're the favorite boy, you know, I'm gonna let
Right.
you do whatever you want." You know, I think Ramsey's coming from an environment that's much more cutthroat, and you're a, you know, players hit the bench for much, much less, you know. So I think this is going to be really interesting. And I think El Khalad, you know, really has no ties to Reynoso either. So, you know, there's no reason from an operational standpoint to not tell him to take a hike. There really isn't. And then quite honestly, do we miss him? I mean, it's hard to say. Well, this discussion might change that, but
It will.
you know, I think there's question of whether or not we really need him. Can we just survive to the su summer transfer and find somebody else?
Which
Yeah,
is,
I
no.
go.
I thought, David, you brought up some good points. It'll be interesting because if the decision is made and like, yeah, you nailed it. You know that they don't. You know, this is a new regime. They don't have any loyalty to Reynoso. So he's not one of their guys that they brought in. You know, in a transfer window, so why? And they don't know him. You know, they haven't. You know, they certainly know what he's capable of doing from his past and what he's done here. But yeah, there's no loyalty. So like, what's to say if they do decide to move on with Ray in some capacity, that means that there's two DP slots available potentially. You know, I know the primary window is going to close, I think, in 3 days, so nothing's going to happen now. But you know, the summer, you know, circle July 18th on your calendar, that's when the summer window opens. Now, who knows? Maybe Khaled and you know Ramsey, maybe they'll want to maybe they'd feel better with two DP slots that they have control over. They can make decisions and build the team in the way that they want to.
And that
So
adds to that dangerous aspect of all this too, is because
exactly.
yeah, it's there's that knowing that it is both of these guys, for Khalid Al-Ahmad and Eric Ramsey, it's their first season at Minnesota United. They're both wanting to make a splash here, and the perfect way to do that is via transfers, especially if you have designated player spots open. So Reynoso is just asking to be moved on from here by acting like this. And so he's if he wants to stay in Minnesota, he's got to do something really drastic here.
It feels that way. Yeah, it feels that way because, like I said before we came on, I mean, you know, I'm sure everybody knows because that follows this club, anyways. You know, he is under contract right now through 2025, through the end of next year. I mean, that's a basically 2 seasons. You know, and his salary, I think last year's salary was just north of 2 million.
2 million.
So, you know, doing the math, we're talking about at least 4 million, you know, that he's owed over the next 2 years. So we'll see what happens, but it's not a given either way. I mean, because I think most people would admit that he's the most talented player on this team when he's with the team.
Right.
But we don't know if he's going to fit in as well as with what Ran Eric Ramsey wants to do as opposed to Adrian Heath. We just don't know that for sure. Now, I feel like they could make it work, whether they wanted, you know, whether, you know, tactically. It's not just, it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be, if in my opinion, that if Reynoso is here, this club has to be playing in a 4-2-3-1 and it has to be this style. You know, I think they can make the most of his talents one way or another, but that's a huge, huge question mark right now. And I know there's a lot of varying opinion on what the future will be. So
I'm serious.
yeah,
There's
you know, and
always
I think we can throw a wrench in this discussion more. And what I brought up before we started recording, there's a chance he's in breach of contract. And if he's in
through
breach of
that
contract,
possible thing.
then all of a sudden financial concerns may go out the window. I mean, I'm not saying that he could be cut with no penalty to us, but it could be
Well,
very easily that the buyout clause shrinks considerably based on the fact that he's breached.
He
Could
did
be.
get fined last year,
And
a substantial amount
specifically,
by the club.
Was it, and that's what we were talking about as well. I don't know if it was specifically a fine. I mean, essentially it was. Basically, he was a no-show, and so therefore he was essentially, when he wasn't with a club, he was suspended without pay, and that was basically 40% of his salary last year. I can only assume that they've kind of started that process already this year, at least as of that last green card missed meeting at the end of March. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and I think – oh, sorry, go on.
No, I just want to say, so I'm assuming they started that process. We don't know. They haven't said. I don't expect to hear anything about that, about the details, but yeah. I assume he has not been paid by the club for the last, you know, at least half a month. That will continue. But yeah, we don't, you know, that's a good point. I mean, we can read through hundreds and hundreds of pages, you know, as far as the contracts are concerned, but maybe what he's doing, maybe a period of no show. And the other problem is we don't know if he's talking to the club. It doesn't sound like it, but they could be in contact. Right. And but maybe there is a clause that says, hey, if you're a no show, no call, so to speak, that's grounds for termination, and that opens the window. Because
You know, I think also what happened last year gives a bit of a clue into what that contract probably says, because if they can essentially suspend him without pay, that would suggest that there's something in the contract that says if you're in breach, we don't have to pay you. We don't have to fulfill our side of the contract.
Yep. Yeah.
So then they probably, you know, my contract drafting hat is on. At that point, there's probably a form of remedy for him where they give him notice that he's in breach and he's not going to get paid. So he has, you know, 90 days or whatever to remedy that and come back, and then everything's fine. But so it's not like they had to give him anything that we are aware of in return because he came back. So there's, I mean, speculating here, I would say that there is something in this contract that would allow Minnesota to cut him without penalty if he's continues to be in breach of that contract. So
I can't, yeah. And you would know about the contracts obviously a lot more than us. And I mean, I hope that's the case because, you know, while he's under contract with Minnesota United FC, he's not doing himself any good by not being paid, not playing for this club. And it's not doing Minnesota any good, not having him using one of those, you know, DPs, you know, slash, well, until what we thought was going to be a green card, you know, another international slot. It's not doing anybody any good. So
yeah,
it just, you know, that's why I think so many people were kind of leaning towards, okay, one way or another, where, you know, let's cut ties. You know,
yep.
I think everybody can admit that he's super talented and we could use his talents. But listen, if he's not here, he's not here. And it's just, that's what's really frustrating.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, that, you know, you said that's when he is with the team, he is easily the most talented player on the team, which I think is true in a lot of ways. But when you're absolutely right. When you're taking up a DP spot, you're getting paid that DP salary, and you're not here to claim that, then who cares about that DP spot? Who cares if you're the most talented player on the pitch? Yeah. You can't count on that all-star mentality to just keep you out of trouble there. So I'm hoping that Ray can, well, I mean, I don't know what Ray is going to do next, but we'll see. Maybe he gets a little bit of sense talked into him by Eric Ramsey.
It's a fluid situation, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next upcoming weeks about what's happening. But for now, he's not here. We move on without him, and we talk about the game last night against Houston, which, again, without Ray, we haven't had Ray for a while, so the lineup really doesn't change. However, Valentin is still out. Tapias is still out. So we've got, and then of course Rosales is on a red card, missing the game from red card. So the back line was an interesting thing to figure out. Now, Erickson would be the next guy up in the middle of the defense there, with Paddleford moving over. However,
Before the season started, you would have thought that for sure. For
however,
sure. Based on resumes and experience in competitive soccer,
However, I think Eriksen has cemented himself into moving on from this club in a loan situation because our rookie, Hugo Bacharach, gets a start at center back last night. Paddleford moving over to one of the right wings, or was it? He's on the left, right?
I think shout out to MNUFC News. I think correctly made that prediction with regards to Bacharach starting in the, you know, one of the center backs slots, of course, next to Boxall. But still, like I said, I wasn't sure. I still was kind of leaning towards Eriksen, but I mean, it's pretty damning, like I said, towards Eriksen and his future. If he
didn't,
with his resume, basically bringing him over in the offseason, you would have thought. And with him, it's not looking good for him. I think writing's on the wall going forward.
He's
out.
I think he's starting to remind me a bit of a Demidov. Because Demidov was brought over, and God knows who thought this, but he supposedly had this resume they liked, and he had a lot of quality on his resume, and everyone was relatively upbeat about him, and he played two games or one game, and we realized how bad he was, and that was it. It was done.
That was it.
He's done. So this is starting to kind of feel a bit like that.
It is a risk you take, don't you think, guys? Like, you know, bringing a guy over from
Värnamo in Sweden.
In Sweden, yeah. It is a risk. You know, maybe not the top tier talents if they're coming over Europe. Not that this necessarily happened for this club, but I mean, it is a risk coming into MLS. It's a totally different style of play. And so it's not, I guess it's not a given. It shouldn't be a given, even though.
You know, it's also a quality or a standard of play too. We always have discussions, everyone does, about where MLS fits in the you know, echelons of quality of
European soccer,
you know, play. Right. And no one really can totally come to a conclusion of where they are. But I think it's pretty safe to say that they are better than anything in the Scandinavian leagues.
I agree.
And
with that.
I think that they're pretty. I think it's pretty safe to say that there are a number of top flight leagues in certain countries that they might be competitive with. So I think there's a question already of when you go to Sweden and you grab someone, this could actually be a step up for them, significant step up for them.
Right.
So the quality that they were up against that made them look like a good selection may be poor enough to where when they get here, it's like, oh, shit.
He's only 23 years old, guys. Okay. So he's got time.
You're looking at, you know, Eriksen's resume. He has one cap for the Swedish national team. He's played for Värnamo for what was it, 6 years before that, made 120 some appearances, scored 4 goals, and then he moved to Minnesota United. In my opinion, Bacharach being a Villarreal Academy, former Villarreal Academy prospect, that trumps anything in the Swedish league for me. So
I would agree with that too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for what is it, Värnamo? He had over 100 starts for that club, played a lot of minutes. He really did. I mean, that's what I'm just saying. I think David, you nailed it on the head. Great point bringing that up. I think when you talk, it's an interesting conversation. We don't have time for it tonight here, but when you look at some of these European leagues, even top flight, like you said, or second division in Europe, third division, what have you, I think I think a majority of those leagues, it feels like to me at least, are very top heavy. And so, some of the top teams in those leagues can be dominant. But when you look at MLS as a whole, it's really difficult, like you said, to kind of, where would you place MLS in relationship to some of those leagues? But I think top to bottom, you know, and it's probably because of some of the salary cap or the, you know, the Garber Buck rules. I think top to bottom, though, the MLS is a pretty strong league. There's a lot of parity every year. We see it. the competition top to bottom. Every year, it's always a struggle to make the playoffs. So I think top to bottom, MLS worldwide is a very strong league. Now, I'm not saying it's a top five league in the world. Right. I'm just saying top to bottom, it's a very strong league. There's no doubt about that.
I'd say it's in the top 20 in the world, I would say. I think it's top 20.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But it's hard to place it. But yeah.
It's hard to place it. That's true.
Yeah.
Without competitive play, there's
so many good teams, I think, MLS year after year, and it's hard to predict.
Another part of the lineup that was interesting, well, not interesting because we needed them, is that Braun gets a start at the midfield, Dotson's on the bench, probably due to the fact that we have no other defenders there. I mean,
that was the biggest good that you brought Alejandro Braun. I think that was the biggest the second biggest, you know, shocker, if you want to call it that, you know, we didn't, I mean, I think I had Dotson penciled in the lineup. I just didn't know if it was going to be in the midfield or if he was going to take, you know, a spot in the back line. But I certainly had Dotson penciled in the starting 11 and he was not. So that was
so I have a theory on that because Dave, I'm with you. I had Dotson penciled in too, but after I saw the lineup and I thought about it a bit, I think the theory may be that he would be a potential backline guy. So I think they left him on the bench knowing that if shit hit the fan, they had somebody there to put in. And if they again, had to.
They had, yeah. So they made the decision, which is fine. I understand it. Getting to the game, guys, the first half, summed up in one word, was poopy.
Well,
on both sides, really.
I mean,
it was pretty poopy. Lackluster.
Yeah, I mean, they're big.
It was a couple nervy moments, even like in the first, I think, 5 minutes. You're like, oh boy, like, I mean, full disclosure, Hugo Bracaret had a really strong game for his first MLS start. There's no doubt about it.
He did, yeah.
But he had a couple of shaky moments, and I think you could tell that in the first minute or two, and then throughout the majority of the first half. But yeah, you're right. It was trending towards a nil-nil halftime. And that's what it felt like. Nobody was really threatening. I'm sure we'll get into the full stat line as it goes, but most of that happened in the second half, really. Bottom line.
Back right, I had a couple moments I saw on Twitter, people pointing this out, and it's understandable because it's his first start. He played the ball back a couple times where he could have passed the ball forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. You're young. You have some nerves. You want to play it safe. Yep. You don't want to give up a goal. Totally understandable. I won't get on the guy for doing that. He'll learn from those mistakes. But the big moment from the first half, guys, was the own goal.
Yeah. By, well, I want to back up, and maybe we don't have to spend too much time about it, but I think it was before the own goal by Braun, but it was I'm going to have to pull up the replay, but basically I need to say this. Will Trapp basically had a walk-in goal.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we did.
I think it was the 30th minute, if you want to skip forward if you're watching the replays, but it was the 34th minute what was it? A bad turnover, I think. I'm trying to find it now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Will Trapp.
It was press. It was great press.
Tremendous press. Will Trapp forced a turnover. His poor play by Houston. Will Trapp just jumped a pass, poor play by the defender, and just was about what I thought was, and I'm assuming he thought the same thing. He had just scored a goal, somehow did not score. And I know Will Trapp's expected goal for the total game was about 0.64, but on that play in particular, it had to have been like 0.9. I mean, it was a tap in. Granted, he was trying to just flip it over the goalkeeper, and he did a great job of doing that. It just he didn't finish it, and it's easier said now, but like you watch it over and over and over, and I said it, Will Trapp's a professional. You'd expect him to just take that thing to the back of the net, where instead he kind of just watched it, and then of course the defender kicked it out. It took a VAR, I think, to confirm, but
it did. Yeah, they
ball,
did.
Yeah, it did.
The ball did not review it. I think when I looked at the first replay, I was like, oh boy, it was close. It was very, very close, but I was like, oh boy, it didn't cross the line completely. And that's what you got to do. So
it didn't.
Yeah. If I had to guess, it was maybe 2 to 3 inches at most from not
Yeah,
Line I just technology, guys.
you know it's you're so right, Dave, though. It's like when you know Will Trapp does a great job at jumping that pass and then he shoots it. Goalkeeper does a good job to get his body on it, but it's still heading toward the goal. The second that deflection happens off the goalkeeper, Will Trapp's first thought should have been, "Hey, I'm gonna go tap this in." And he doesn't. You're right. He just kind of watches it. So I don't understand why he just doesn't get a foot up and just kind of tap it into the other side of the
You know,
outside of the net.
I think it's just his position. You know, I think he's not used to have even having his chance to score goals. That when he finally got a chance, I don't know that he had that. I don't know that you'd expect him to have that mentality to do that extra bit of work.
Maybe that's it. Because you
I'm trying
see,
to make
like,
excuses. Maybe, I don't know.
I appreciate that, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you see, and maybe it's more of the striker, the goal scorer mentality, where you see players literally, you know, wanting to go to the back of the net to pick up that ball after they scored. You know, they're following that ball right into the net with them, but that didn't happen. I just bring that up because, yeah, it agreed for the most part. The first half was very lackluster, but Minnesota, you know, that was obviously the biggest chance in the first half, and
It was.
it just
Set the
adds to the frustration of where you're going, Tony, or where you wanted to go before I brought that
set
up.
set the stage of the Braun own goal because it's a corner kick. The Houston player does get his head down, but glances off Braun's leg, and there we go. Houston's up 1-0. I mean,
That's a
what
tough
did
goal
you
to give
what
up.
do
It
you
is,
do
it
in those
is, it
situations?
is,
I
it
mean,
is.
what do
In
you do?
fact, because when I was watching it real time, I had thought it was a header, and it was a sub. The sub it was an injury related sub, I believe. And I had thought, oh my gosh, he comes in and scores a goal, what, 5 minutes later for him. But because I thought he scored real time, and then watching the replay, clearly it was an own goal, not disputing that. But it is, that's what Dave, like you're saying, one of those things where, you know, Braun is doing his best to mark that guy, and that's a risky run when you're running in that direction right at goal. He, you know, and credit, because we, how many times on this pod, and how many times have fans complained about, you know, poor defending on set pieces for this club? That I wouldn't necessarily call that poor defending. I'd almost lean towards bad luck.
Yeah, Dave, you're right. He's crashing the goal to get his mark. I mean, maybe he was a little behind or just flat-footed, and that created a little bit of an urgency for him to do what he did, to make that move. But yeah, I would probably chalk that up to bad luck as well. It's just, you know, worse is the header was missed, and the whole reason that's the whole reason why it went into his leg. So, I mean, it's, yeah, you can't fault him too much. You really can't.
Split second
It,
stuff here, guys. I mean,
yeah,
that's the way it works.
it's tough. It's tough luck, and that's why I like the two plays that we've decided to focus on in the first half. Is just, I think for me, what I'm worried about going forward is we're gonna maybe start to see a little regression to the mean, so to speak. And I think I touched on it earlier, but if not, I will. I just because I want to bring this up because these two points that we talked about, expected goals for Minnesota for this game was 2.5 goals. Obviously, they scored one, well under that. But that was the complete opposite so far. Like early in the season, in the first previous six games or whatever, the expected goals was much lower than the actual goals. So this is a reversal of what we saw last year. So I'm worried that we're going to start coming back to, you know, we were kind of overshooting what was expected, and we were, and a lot of that was the late, a lot of late, you know, how many late goals has this club had? Was expecting that a bit last night as well, but I'm just worried that we're coming back to reality where we're going to see our expected goals maybe show out a little.
You know, Dave, I think you're right. And actually, MLS says that expected goals for us was 3.1.
For the game. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really bad. If you think about it. But I think you're probably onto something. But however, it could be a lot to do with the fact that Ramsey's here now. And it's just, there's that getting used to phase, where the team's settling in and he's settling in and, trying to find a balance in the tactics, with where what's his name? Knowles, right? Knowles, right? Was and just trying to just balance all that stuff out. It's working out the kinks and getting everybody on the same page. So I think that this isn't terribly weird, or terribly unexpected that we're having a bit of a drop down to reality. With that said, we all expected them to do way worse than they are right now. So maybe they are falling back to where they should be. But I think I'd hold out a little bit of optimism, hope that, this might just be a few matches where it might look a little, and they'll get it figured out.
And then good. I love your optimism, David. I really do. Because, and then again, like if you would have said even just a few regard, never mind before the season started, but even just a couple weeks ago, if you would have said that, Padel Ford and Hugo Bekaret were going to be, starting on the left side of your back line, would you have expected that? And would you have expected Reynoso not to be here? And, there's a lot of factors that I swear I swear I jinxed this club. I think it was just Tony and I on the pod a few weeks ago where I think we were coming out of the bye week. And I've said, well, hey, we're coming out of the bye week. It's an international break. This is the healthiest this club has been in maybe 2 years. We're going to have everybody up for selection. And then what happens coming out of that bye?
Well, terrible stuff.
Yeah. Also, I think, look, you just brought this up. Pettleford and Bacharach on the back line. Honestly,
Oh,
they
yeah.
did rather well.
Yes. Oh, I'm
And
sorry. I'm
only
sorry.
one of the
Inbound.
two, yeah, well, only one of the two goals can be attributed to them.
Oh, and I'm
And
sorry.
one
And
of them.
I didn't, that was, and what I said there was not to be a slight on either of them, actually. It was just
Well, no, yeah.
respect
I was
to
just adding to the fact that, you made that point and they did well. So, I mean, if you think about it, that's, we've had a lot of opportunities for our youth and this season so far, and they've all shown up for the most part, with the exception of Erickson. So it's, I don't know. I think that there's room for optimism. I think there is a one dark cloud over this discussion that could be a single very popular player with this team that looks a little on the outs, maybe. And once Franco came in, I think it was even more glaringly obvious that
Yeah.
there's something up with Bongi.
Well, he slipped a lot.
Yeah,
Ooh,
especially
yeah.
the
Oh, that yeah,
slipped
if we're
in more
talking
ways
about
than one, actually.
if we're talking about the first half, that is something that we should talk about. It's like, what is going on with yeah, there was at least two or three opportunities for Bongi that were promising in the attacking half where he fell on his own. Like just fell. Just slipped
And
right into. And it wasn't, and David, I think I know where you're going. It wasn't just that he slipped and fell, which he did at least two times, maybe three in the first half alone. There was, we unfortunately it was young Bongi where he kind of had an opportunity, but basically runs straight forward into a defender, has no kind of lateral
That
movement.
was exactly what I was going to say. And he had that one move. He had that one opportunity where he was all alone on the left side and he cut in directly at the defender and lost possession immediately. And I didn't even text anything because I was like, I felt like I was just going to sound super negative, but I was like, holy shit, what happened? He looks like what he did when he first joined the team.
And we're, I mean, and as long as we're still in the first half, I mean, he did have, I think I'm looking at it now, actually. It was just a couple minutes into added time in the first half where he made a nice run. He didn't have to do a lot of movement, but the run was nice. But what was better was the pass. He got it to Pukki, who had a shot on goal there, but it was unfortunately It was a promising attempt, but it was right, ended up being right basically at the goalkeeper.
Yeah, and that ended up being, I'm pretty sure that ended up being recorded as a key pass for him.
It should be. It should be, because it was. Yeah.
The thing that, you know, he's always been a poor passer, statistically speaking.
Yeah.
This was actually his, I believe it was his best passing game of the season, statistically. But he only took like six passes, I think. Like, he barely even moved the ball. Yeah. So
that was his problem. He either ran into a defender or slipped and fell and just lost the ball. In promising situations, like, he didn't have a chance to make a progressive pass because he literally lost the ball or fell or something happened. So that was a shame. And I think, I don't think that Sengbin showed up too much in the first half. But I mean, we talked about it last week. I think it was last week. With the wingers having issues. And, you know, now we're looking at Sengbin, and the problem I think I had with him last week was his crossing was just off. One, crossing or shots, whatever you want to call it. One went across, over the crossbar. One was directly at the goalkeeper. One was right at a defender. And so we've seen some promise from Sengbin, but it's been rough because he hasn't scored,
We'll get into that. So let's move on to the second half, because this is where Sengbin does some things. Come out of the second half, guys. Dawson comes in for Braun. And that's when the attack started to pick up here in the second half. We really had some shots on goal. Sengbin had a couple shots on goal. He hit the post on one, which is, it is what it is. But, I mean, he was doing it. We then, of course, brought Franco in for Bongi, Tani in for Pookie. Tani is, of course, our superhero guy who comes in when we need a goal late. And, look at that. And then in the 70th minute, guys, we get Franco on the goal. Watching that goal numerous times, guys, that was the easiest fucking goal I've ever seen.
Well,
and
it was so simple.
Dave made a point. Yeah, Dave made a point on text. In the first half, where he said he wanted to see more of Will Trapp moving up. And I had commented that I thought, well, you know what? I think they're probably going to end up playing pretty conservative because they want to protect the back line. This goal created by the fact that Trapp got into the attack. And he pushed that ball up, and then his exchange with Robin Lud all the way up the pitch. That was exactly what I think Will Trapp can do. And I thought that was perfect that you had brought that up early.
Thanks for bringing it up. And Tony, for starting it. You're right, Tony. I think that was an easy goal from Franco. You know, credit Franco for finishing. We needed that at that time in the game to equalize, for sure. But yeah, it might have been an easy goal, but that started with that pass from Will Trapp was just phenomenal. Like, he got it past two defenders. And then he actually made it kind of easy for Robin Lud, and credit Robin Lud for the assist and the cross into Franco. But that, it really started with Trapp. So I'm glad you brought that up, David. That was
And I think something that we didn't see, again, to that point, we didn't see that in the first half. The first half was a bit dull, and we saw that very conservative play, and they changed. Obviously, Ramsey adjusted because of how the game was going, or at least I hope so. And so I think that's a really good example how we played in the second half. I think it's a really good example of how the 4-3-3 can work really well if you have that midfield that can hold its own and allow that central midfielder to get up into the attack and to really kind of move around and work the ball, which I think, going back to our conversation early on about Ray, we don't need to be in the 4-2-3-1 to have Ray. If you have a midfield that can hold its own, Ray can play that central midfield role if he's willing to.
Right.
And he can get into the attack. He's going to be expected to drop back and play a little defense, but he can get into the attack and he can really orchestrate a lot out of that role. And that's what we saw in the second half was Trapp started moving up the pitch. We started getting more of that forward momentum out of that role.
Yep. And you know, this is another example of what we need as well is something that's Minnesota has lacked a lot in basically the into their entire time in MLS is good timing on their goals too. When you know, it's a beautiful pass by Trapp up the wing to Robin Lund, and Lund's got tons of space to make his pass. But one thing you don't see a lot with Minnesota is a midfielder arriving late in the box. And that's exactly what Franco Fragopane did. And I want to see more of that. I've wanted to see that for a long time because that's a hidden weapon. It's so simple, but it's so effective. Because you know, most of the defense are going to drop back with their first line, with Minnesota's first line of attack. And that's where Franco can kind of hide behind that and take the shot. It won't always work, but he'll take the shot and that'll at least be a shot on goal. So I think that's well done to Franco Fragopane, just positioning himself well behind the front line.
Oh, and can we also talk about Tani? His run through through the box drew both defenders toward goal, which allowed that huge space for Franco to just step into.
Yeah, because it because because yeah, cr I mean, credit Lude on the pass, but yeah, it opened up. I mean, he had to make a good pass, but yeah, that's a good point, David, that he opened up. And I this next weekend might be interesting because you know we've tossed out these ideas, you know, about our wing play and the lack thereof. And we should make a note that Sang Bin, he's off to the AFC U23 cup, I think starting Tuesday, I think. So he's gone. I'm assuming he left. So he won't be available next week. I don't know if he'll be available the week after. So we might see Franco, you know, get a start here in lieu of Sang Bin's absence. So that could be interesting, and maybe he deserves, you know, maybe Franco deserves a start. Certainly, this would be a boost for his confidence, but
I don't know about
I don't
that.
know
I
about
mean,
it.
on the right, I think you could see Bongi starting too.
On the right, yeah, but I'm just saying Franco could be on the left. I mean, obviously that, you know, Caden Clark has done a journeyman's effort of that in his first season with the club, but I think there's a conversation to be had. Is it going to be Franco or is it going to be Clark getting the start on the left wing next week? You know, obviously Franco seemed to fall out of favor, but that was last season. You know, that was under Adrian Heath. He hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities this season, you know. So we'll see. I mean, that could change if, you know, if he was, you know, it was almost a surprise to see him subbed in. And maybe that was a credit to, you know, Tony, we were talking about this. I think we were talking about a text thread that there it was apparently what didn't Eric Ramsey call it the best week of training since he's been here. Of course, he's only been here for a few weeks, but you know,
Best week.
maybe Franco was putting the effort. Maybe he wants to regain a starting spot, and he might have the opportunity to do that going forward. And certainly scoring a
Between
goal 5 minutes after you come on, that's going to be a boost. So
all the Wild games and the Timberwolves games that Eric Ramsey's been to, he's seen some training, I guess. Like, you know.
apparently, yeah.
But yeah, so we get that goal in the 70th minute, guys. It's looking good. Unfortunately, 7 minutes later, this is where Bacharach gets deked on this goal. And I mean, it happens.
Damn it,
It
yeah.
happens.
Because yeah, look,
It
yeah, and that's
does.
what we had said it earlier, but for his first start with this club in MLS play, he was solid. There's just no way around that. There's no doubt about it.
But he
And
got,
but he
you
got.
know, you can never let a single play define a player. I mean,
No, of
I
course
know
not.
some
No.
people let that happen, but you can't. He had a good game.
And Connor,
Well, I
that's why,
know.
like, I'm not gonna, I got to bring it up because it's funny. But like, I was still awake. I think it was just Connor and I towards the end of the game,
I
and
think it was, yeah.
literally, I'm literally seconds, if not 30 seconds before the
I think it
goal.
was less than a minute. Yeah.
It
I'm
was
just
less
talking
than a
about
minute.
how great Hugo Bacharach has been that entire game.
And you called him at this point is man of the, and it was late in the game, and he said
Yeah.
he's your man of the match. And quite frankly, when you sent that text, I didn't have time to reply that I agree. I mean, he was for he was solid. He was absolutely solid. And that I'm laughing about it now. It sucked at the time, but and then seconds afterwards, unfortunately, that play had to have occurred because, yeah, let's not take away from his contribution, you know, for this club was solid, you know, and that
And
was, but
I'm still picking him for man of the match, to be honest, because like it, I mean, other than that play, yes, I mean that yes, that play was a huge letdown in defense, but other than that, he's been he was I thought he had a solid first outing with Minnesota United, so I thought it was great.
He got deked. I mean, that's what happens. I come on, it
Yeah, it happens to everybody.
happens of veterans too. I mean, I
Yeah.
get people on social media going off like, well, that sucks. You should have. No, this happens. I'm sorry to tell
Yeah.
you.
And
It happens.
quite
Yeah.
frankly, and I think honestly, from what I've seen, I was fortunate enough to spend like 7 hours outside today. I didn't spend a lot of time on Twitter, but from, since I got back inside before we started recording, the general feel is that I think it's generally positive, in maybe overwhelmingly positive about his effort and his game. And
Yeah.
so I think people are willing to overlook that because there was points in this game where that aggressiveness that maybe ultimately led to that goal, that aggressiveness was really impressive early on. And some of the tackles that he made, really, really confident, strong, aggressive tackles that, maybe save goals where this one, it didn't work out that way there, but yeah, it was just
Well,
sad to see. But it, even at that goal, I mean, that was just minutes after, Minnesota's equalizer. During that time, Minnesota's gangbusters. Like this game was all Minnesota in the second half. It was all Minnesota as far as attacking shots on goal,
and it
any
still
metric you
was.
want to look at. And
Yeah, we
there,
did not give
so
up. We did
they
not
did
give up.
not. In fact, that might have spurred them on more. And like you didn't lose. What minute was that goal scored in? I mean, the 77th.
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 77th
Yeah.
minute.
And I mean, from that point on, I mean, honestly, what we've seen from the start of the season, I really, genuinely, I didn't turn the game off because I expected an equalizer from Minnesota. I
And
really did.
Tani comes back a couple minutes later, got a shot from the header from center of the box, which he could have had. He's got another attempted miss, like same time, right around the same time. They bring in Jas Adebayo Smith for Will Trapp in the 81st minute, bring Caden Clark for DJ Taylor in the 85th minute. And then it was, guys, at the end of this match, corner after corner after corner after
Right.
corner for the
Yeah.
Loons. And
Yeah.
they had some attempt. I mean, they had right at 90 plus. We had 10 extra minutes here of stoppage time, and Adebayo Smith had a header from the center of the box that expected goals 51%. I mean, it was right there. I remember watching. I was watching the rest of that, and oh,
What was I
man.
missing? Obviously, there was two goals scored in the second half, but there wasn't any significant injuries, right? I'm recalling. I was
There was
surprised by
a.
that 10
There
minutes.
was
That
a.
surprised me.
What was the deal? Was it
There must have
a.
been something that
There
I'm
was
forgetting, but
something that happened on Houston's side
oh,
where
there
somebody
maybe
went down and
there
then
was some injuries, yeah.
he walked around a little bit and they let him stay on the pitch, which is supposedly you're supposed to like take him off the pitch for a while, but I guess that's not a rule
That
right
didn't
now.
happen.
I don't know. Didn't happen. So yeah, and then there was a tying the shoes incident
Oh
for a
yes.
while.
Oh, that was it. The goal. I think Kendra D. St. Aubin. I think she made a comment saying that it's the first time she's ever seen a goalkeeper take off his gloves and tie his own shoes. Usually, that's done by somebody else. Yeah, that was it. That was one of the incidents. And credit to the referee for taking a note of that. That's what I had forgotten, and now I remember. But
Well,
credit to the referee for saying, "Hey, we're not going to let you do that." But
and they could have totally backfired on him because we had opportunities at the end of this game,
oh
guys,
man.
to tie it up. We did, and we
Oh.
just didn't do it. And
Yeah.
so this game, I think you can be pissed off about this game for a couple reasons. The first half looking like poop. But the second half coming out and being as strong as they were, you got to be able to carry that over the next game. And whatever Eric Ramsey said at halftime, these guys have got to do it for a full 90 minutes. You can't play this poopy, keep saying poopy,
Yeah,
the whole time.
Tani had a header that went off the crossbar. Franco almost had a brace in an acrobatic way. I mean, you look at some of the highlights and
We had
it's
our chances, but
yeah, exactly.
it's a 2-1 loss. We pick ourselves back up and we move on. And without Ray,
course. I don't know if Tapias will be back. I don't know if Valentin will be back this week. Tapias looks like he's getting there. He was playing with the
Yeah.
twos this week.
And remember that injury a couple of weeks ago now was described as week to week, not month to month. So, and potentially he could be back. We don't know this week, but he was, as far as training, all the reports out of training goes, it's certainly positive. No guarantee, but at least he's working out and training.
So, guys, next week we have an interesting matchup. It's against Charlotte. It's also a 5 o'clock game on a Sunday. It's an FS, if it's an FS1 game, it's a nationally televised game. So we have a chance to show everybody around the nation what the Loons are all about. So predictions for that game. David, go ahead with your prediction for next week's game.
This is interesting. We're pretty
It
similar,
is.
two pretty similar teams. Same points. We do have better points per game because we have a extra draw, I believe. It's like goal differential, I think, is even a plus one for both of us. And then it's like, I might say this wrong. I think they have a 10 and 9 goals, and we have 11 and 10 goals or something like
Yeah,
that.
Charlotte has 8 games played, so that's why they're, you're
Yeah.
right. They
So
have the
we
same
have
number
a
of
game in
points and
hand.
11,
Yeah.
but yeah, we have a game. So that's why
Yeah.
our PPG is
Gotcha.
slightly
So
better, but
I don't know. I mean, I think, right, we're at home.
No, we're not. We're on the
No, that's
road.
right. We're on
No,
the road. That's right.
we're
Yeah.
in Charlotte,
Yeah.
yeah.
Charlotte.
And I'll bring it up for everybody that didn't, if you didn't realize this, and I didn't until, shortly before we recorded, but Charlotte, not to step on you, I just want to give you all the information, David. Charlotte is undefeated at home. They're 3-0, and I think with a draw, whereas they're winless. They haven't won a game on the road, obviously. So they haven't lost a game at home, whereas Minnesota, they have shown the ability to win on the road. So it is interesting in that sense. I mean, they
Yeah,
haven't, Charlotte hasn't won on the road, and they haven't lost at home. So or they haven't lost a game at home. So it's interesting.
I
Yeah.
think realizing that I had that home and away mixed up, I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say 1-1.
Tie. It's a draw. All right. That works. I'll go next. I think this team's going to come out of this game, the last half of this last game, and they're going to know what they have to do. And I'm going to say it's 2-1 that the Loons are going to win this next game. Break that streak. Connor, what about you?
Charlotte is a really hard team to call. They've beaten Columbus, but they've lost to Toronto. So it's that's the basically the they're beating the best and losing to the worst. So it's a really hard team to call. I'm gonna say Minnesota goes down and gets the win, 1-0.
Giddy up. Dave, what about you?
Yeah, this is tough, Tony. I'm gonna keep it short. I'm gonna agree with you, Tony. I think 2-1 win. People know, listeners know, I'm generally optimistic.
Yes.
I think this club is going to be fired up. I think everybody, fans, the club, anybody expected a little bit better out of these last two home games. To come to leave home, back to back weeks and only have a point to show for it is a little disappointing. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be a little healthy. Yeah, they're going to be without Sangbin. Maybe that's not a bad thing, like I was alluding to. It could be better. We assume, Rizal will be back in the starting lineup potentially. I'm a little optimistic, 2-1, and I am tempted to do one. Did you say 1-1 draw?
Yeah.
That if I was betting on the game, which I probably won't because I don't like to bet on MLS unless I'm in a casino, but I might be betting on that draw, that 1-1 draw. That sounds a little more realistic. But if I'm making my prediction for this podcast, Tony, I like yours. 2-1. Let's go.
Right. Awesome. Connor, you got some soccer history for us tonight?
Yeah, so let's see where we're at. Today is April 14th, and I haven't even brought up my soccer calendar yet. So let's look up April 14th. So let's go back. Let's go back about a week and move to. Okay, so it looks like this within this past week, about 14 years ago, the Minnesota Stars played their inaugural match on April 11th in 2010. Unfortunately, they lost it at the Vancouver Whitecaps 2-0. It looks like looks like this was about the time that the NASL season started, most years. So it was there have been a lot there. We're starting to see a lot of star, a lot more stars, a lot more United on the calendar.
Did you say, Connor, do you say that was the Stars' inaugural season?
The Stars inaugural season. Yep.
Yeah, because that's when I really started getting I mean, I knew of, of the club prior to that, probably, but I think that year probably was the season that I started paying more attention to them. And when I say paying more attention, I was not a, season ticket holder or anything, but I started going to a few games. I clearly remember having a Minnesota Stars t-shirt, which I love to this day. That logo was awesome. I wish I could get a retro throwback of that. One of my favorite t-shirts at the time.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I've got a fun signing here, everybody. And I might have used this. I might have used this one this time last year too. On the same day, April 11th, 2018. Guess who Minnesota United signs to the team? And
Say
I'm
the
going to give
date
you,
one more time. 2018.
2018, April 11th. United signed a certain Peruvian to the team.
Oh, that should give it away.
what's his name? That's Gomez, right?
Alexi Gomez. Yep.
Yeah, Gomez,
Nice,
yeah.
Tony. Nice, Tony. I
Well,
thought you were
got
bad
yeah.
with the history and the stats and the trivia,
Well,
but you nailed
not
that
with
one.
Gomez. Not with
Yeah,
Gomez,
no.
though. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Gomez is we give off an award every year for the worst
Yeah.
player of the team.
Yep. That's right. So yeah, there thank you, Alexi Gomez,
Jeez.
for giving us a little bit of material for our show.
Oh
And
God. A lot, no, not just a little, a lot of material for this show. A lot. There was a lot of talk on the show early on
Oh, because
about it.
yeah, that there was.
April of
Yeah.
2018, that was basically the start of the pod, right? Between Tony
Yeah,
and David. So
it was started in March, yeah.
there was a
You
lot of
spent
talk about Gomez, a lot of talk about Calvo. Those two guys
Yeah.
pretty much ran our podcast in the beginning. I
Yep.
mean, it was that bad. It was so bad.
Oh
Oh,
boy.
so many talks between me and David about Calvo not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and Gomez looking like shit, and just like, oh man.
Gomez hammering shots up into row Z. So
Rosie.
always, all the
Oh yeah.
time.
Terrible.
I'll do one more. Let's
Yeah.
move to oh, okay. So it looks like it was oh wow. Okay, so it is as of yesterday, it's been 5 years since United played their inaugural match at Allianz Field,
Right.
too.
Yeah.
I was
April
there. I was
31st.
there.
I remember
I was there too.
I remember seeing that post. Yeah, where I was like, wow, 5 years. Yeah, but sure
It's
enough, yeah.
Johnny painted his face.
He did.
I
I still talk about
Somehow
the
I
people,
don't, that
man.
doesn't surprise me.
I still talk about
That he
that with
did.
people. Like,
Johnny painted his
I
face.
always I and thank goodness I took pictures of Johnny
Yeah.
during that day, because I just keep showing people, yeah, this is my friend. I think he's 40 years old. He's painting his face with me. Hey, and to be fair, Johnny, if you're listening, I had a blast that day, and
It
it
was
was a
good.
lot of that was thanks to Johnny. He was all in on the home opener for Allianz, and that was fantastic and a lot of fun. And oh, I think the reason I realized it, because yeah, I think, oh boy, I need to do better at this, but I didn't know I was going to bring it up. It was the Sean Johnson kind of, I think it was the
The
goal
own
that he
goal, yeah.
allowed. Yeah. His own goal that popped up on Twitter. I think it was like, hey, and this happened 5 years ago to the day. I'm like, oh, darn.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean
Oh, so,
Johnson, for that.
all right. Who scored the opening goal during that game for Minnesota?
That would be Ozzie Alonso. Of
That's right.
course.
Yeah. Won't forget
Yep.
that one.
Jose Who
Alonso.
scored the
That's right.
second goal? Do you guys remember that?
And that, because it wouldn't have been the own goal, because I think that was the mate, or was
That was
that
the
the home
third.
run?
No, the third goal was the own goal. The
Okay.
second goal was to put us back on 2-2.
Was it a banger?
No. It was a good counterattack goal, but
I go ahead and tell me because I
it was Angelo Rodriguez. Stab.
No, oh, God, yep. See, I wouldn't. It would have taken me an hour and a half to guess that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mister Mister back to the goal himself.
Yeah, Mister the guy who stop
play.
Mister the guy who quote unquote replaced Christian Ramirez.
Yeah, that guy would just stop the ball dead in his tracks. I remember talking about that too. It's like, oh, just hold up play. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Fantastic hold up play. Fantastic.
Yeah. Great hold up play. Didn't need it though. Well, thank you, Connor, for that history lesson. One quick funny story for you out here, and this is in the land of Florida. So, David, this is all about you. Guys, there is a project to save Florida's Beer Can Island down in the Keys. Small Florida Key, known as Beer Can Island, due to results of parties thrown in the sand, is for sale. And one prospective buyer is looking for partners to go in at $1,000 a piece. The 9-acre island, also known as Pine Key, is located near a MacDill Air Force Base in Apollo Beach. It was created in the 1940s as a result of dredging. The island, which was planted with Australian pine trees to help prevent erosion, earned the nickname Beer Can Island due to being littered with empty beverage receptacles from decades of parties. This guy and his friends purchased the island in 2017 and cleared what he described as 300 to 400 bags worth of trash from the property.
Wow.
Owners installed attractions, including a giant slide, portable bathrooms, and tiki bars to attract visitors. Said the island project was successful for the time, but the owner decided to close the island earlier this year due to long work hours required to maintain the island and costs from repairing damage done by Hurricane Idalia. Yeah, so
dang,
they're looking for
Tony. Yeah. But yeah. if you look at it on Google Maps, you do that like the satellite view, it looks kind of like a fun little island, actually. There's some huts, maybe a canteen, restaurant, and some kind of monstrosity. I mean, almost looks like a water slide or something.
Yeah, they put a water slide in.
Yeah, like you said, it looks like a cool island. Wow, and not. When you said Key, I was thinking like down by the Florida Keys, but no, this is south of Tampa. Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go, David, south of Tampa.
Yeah.
Go save Beer Can Island.
If people don't know, we call islands keys down here.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, not all of them, but a lot of them are called keys. Yeah. Well,
we call
islands. Don't ask me what the significance islands of that is. I have no idea.
Yeah. Because, and that explain it, because when I think of Keys, I think of Florida immediately, but I just think of that specifically chain, obviously from South
and
Florida
hence, down to they're Key all West. Islands, they're all keys, yeah.
That's, and
again, so, yeah, somebody could Google that and tell me why they call them Keys, because I have no idea.
And I should say, you know, Tony, you had thanked Alexi Gomez for a lot of content in the pod. We better thank Florida for a lot of content in your funny stories segment, Tony.
Yeah.
I feel like every other story is something out of Florida for us, pretty much.
So. Well, this is actually a very nice story. I mean, the island is up for, it's $14 million, somebody to buy it. Now they're trying to, of course, get $1,000 a piece for people to buy it to get into this whole thing. And of course, they said that if they do this and they get a whole group together to buy $14 million, they will have elections and they will do like, kind of like the Packers do with the Packers, right? They'll do the whole like, hey, everybody owns this island and blah, 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 this and that. But it's funny. We have our own kind of beer can island around here. It's called Big Island in Lake Minnetonka. Not as bad probably as this one because they clean it up every year. But it's the place to party and hang out. And yeah, so.
So just so everybody knows. They're called the Keys because it is derived from the Spanish word Keo, which means small island.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense.
Right. Little
2.5 years and I finally learned something.
The more you know, right?
The more you know. Shooting star.
The shooting star. Or I could do and knowing's half the battle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which, speaking of, did you see that the old Transformers, the original Transformers movie is going to be released in theaters in May.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's exciting.
For its 40th anniversary.
That's right.
Which is crazy that it's that old.
I that's mean, the now that's we're talking the original. We're talking the yeah.
animated,
like
cartoon,
the original animated. Yep.
Hot Rod. Gotcha. Nobody's seen it. If nobody's seen it now, Hot Rod gets the piece. The what do you call it? The I don't know what to call the thing that was the... Optimus Prime.
The auto spark or whatever.
The spark.
Yeah.
Hot Rod gets the spark. It becomes Rodimus Prime. I'm a huge Transformers nerd, so I know these things.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, they have some great music from that too. You got the touch. You got the power. Yeah, I could sing it all day. Frankly, those were big movies back in my day, along with the G.I. Joe movie, the two-parter with Serpentor. Huge.
You know
movies.
What's so funny that you mentioned that, Tony, is that I actually saw on I follow this comic book resources page on Facebook, and there is a rumor going around that there is going to be a crossover movie between G.I. Joe and Transformers.
And there should
oh,
be.
Oh, really?
And there should be, because they're technically in the same universe.
Yeah, they are.
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, though, can they make a movie that truly does G.I. Joe and Transformers justice? Because
no.
Transformers, the original new Transformers movie was solid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The second one wasn't too bad. The third one was nah, and everything else after that should be damned. Yeah.
And well, I'm not a huge Transformer guys, but or fan. But I mean, I was when a kid. But yeah, I agree with you what you said. And because I feel like I watched the first one, that's pretty good. Watched the second one, okay. And I completely lost interest after that.
Yeah.
Like, they went off.
And then G.I. Joe didn't. Who was the big star? I want to say it was Michael Cera, but it wasn't. Not Michael Cera, but when the original. Man. I don't want to say original, but when the first kind of big modern G.I. Joe movie came out, like I kind of had high hopes for it, but I feel like it.
Well, the second one, The Rock was in that.
No, the first one was Channing Tatum, I think.
Channing Tatum. And one of the Wayans brothers was in there.
Yeah, too. That's right. That's right.
The problem when that
movie came out, and I was such a huge G.I. Joe fan watching the original cartoons when I was a kid. And when that movie came out, I was looking forward to it. And I wasn't surprised, but it just didn't work for me.
If you don't go off the comic books or the animated series for these, you just lose people's interest. It's like you're remaking it. And it's like, I don't give a shit. Give me some comic book shit. Give me some Rise to Pentor Rise. I mean, come on, let's do that shit. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You better put something about this Transformers conversation in the title of the episode, Tony, I think, because people are going to love this.
Yeah.
They will. And considering that it was spawned from the G.I. Joe reference.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Get something, both of those in there.
Yo, Joe. That's what I say. But we'll figure it out. I'll figure out how it works tomorrow. I'll take my usual 2 hours to think of things for this podcast at work.
Take a long lunch. Yeah, and get it done.
Oh, I need to take a lunch for this. Just do it while I'm trying to work. It's fine.
Yeah. Sorry, I saw that Transformers was going to be in theaters, and I've been wanting to talk to someone that would give a shit about it for the last 8 hours. As soon as you threw in an 80s cartoon reference, I was like, there's my window.
Man, we could have a whole podcast about Transformers. Come on. Do it all. We could, like, the top 10 Autobots, top 10 Decepticons.
Boy.
I'd be all there. Let's, Shockwave, fucking Megatron. Oh, come on. I gotta stop.
Otherwise, I could do that with Star Wars. But,
yeah. I could do it with Star Wars too. Yeah, I'm a nerd. All right, so that's that. I think we're good to go, guys. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about, any other cartoons you want to bring up?
That butterscotch root beer was delicious, by the way.
So there you go. And on that note, for myself, Tony, for Dave, David, and Connor, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Go.
7 pounds, hell, that's a mighty big rooster.